Good Vach and good Chodesh, everybody. That's right. We are up to the first. That's right. We have two Adars this year, right? We are up to Adar Rishon. Technically, it's really the 30th day of the previous month, but we're going to all lump it in and we're going to be Marbin Basimcha. And what better way to be Marbin Basimcha than to start by learning some Torah, right? So I am Yisachar Wartel, and we are going to be learning just a little bit about Parshat Mishpatim. There is so much to talk about in this week's Parsha. You could literally spend an entire lifetime talking about it. In fact, so much of the Gemara, Chosheni Mishpat and the Shulchan Aruch, and many, many other things deal with the myriad of halachas and other nuances and insights that are in this week's Parsha. We're only going to be talking about a tiny fraction of that, but it should still be pretty interesting. One of the first laws, right at the beginning, that we come across this week is that of an Eved Ivri. It doesn't always, the connotation doesn't always go over so well, but an Eved we often translate as a slave, but it can also mean servant and has many different nuances. And in fact, the type of slaves that we tend to think of in a very negative sense are actually quite different than the slaves that Jews had, especially the Jewish slaves, which they actually had to treat quite well. They were kind of like very well taken care of indentured servants. Think about that. And sometimes, as Ramashiach Kalati points out, that the Eved Ivri, this Jewish servant, is actually, in a certain sense, sometimes more of a baal, sometimes more of a master than his actual master is. For example, if you have only one pillow or only one blanket, you cannot take it for yourself, but must give it to your Eved. You must give it to your slave. Yeah, you can work him hard, but you have to give him anything that he needs. And if it's honestly a conflict, you have to give him first. Kind of like if you had to, you had to give your children, or you had to give your animal, whatever it was, right? So you have to give him first. The Gemara and other writings of Chazal are full of instances to make the Eved's life not only tolerable, but actually pleasurable. So much so that he might want to stay, which is why we have to, put his ear to the doorpost and say, no, we're going to talk more about that. But, you're only with me for 6 years. You're supposed to serve Hashem, not me. You go back to being, the proper Jew that you are. You're free now. Let's focus on a couple things. Focusing on a Jewish Eved, there are two ways, specifically only two ways in which one can acquire an Eved. None nowadays, but back in the time where this was relevant, either a person is so destitute that they cannot support themselves, they have to unfortunately sell themselves into servitude, really not slavery, but effectively servitude in order to be able to survive. It's degrading, it's demeaning, and we want to prop the person up. And we actually, when he leaves, this slave owner actually, or master, gives him gifts, right? So that he can survive on his own. He's still gonna have to work hard, of course, but he'll have some means, right? He'll build up, some things and hopefully a little bit of self-respect as well. Well, I've hopefully done some meaningful work, not just tedious work. Now, the other instance in which a Eved can arise, right? Meaning Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, can happen where a person steals from somebody and can't return the object and you cannot pay. So somebody stole something, that object is no longer there, he sold it to somebody else, got destroyed, whatever it is, and it's a very expensive item. The person cannot pay for what it was, doesn't have the money. That person, according to Torah law, must become an Eved of the person he stole from. Now, that's good from a strict monetary perspective, but the Chazal asked a very interesting question. Why would the very person who broke into his home and stole his property now have to be with him day and night? And furthermore, this baal has to face this guy who brazenly stole his stuff. He has to give him sustenance. He has to provide him with clothing. And there's actually many answers to this, but one answer, a term that is thrown around way too much, but in this case is legitimate, rehabilitation. We don't assume, unless he's well known as a Rasha Gamor, but we generally don't assume that a Jewish person, certainly back then, is a wicked person, and we give him the benefit of the doubt. He stole because he was desperate, especially because if you see that he had no money. He literally had no money after he stole this object, right? So he may have been living on the street. He may not have had what to do. And out of desperation or some lack of education, whatever it might be, he made a bad judgment call or several bad judgment calls. And we're going to try and get him back on the straight and narrow, back on the proper path. And one who is quite poor, right? So much that they can't even really put the food on the table, they can't do anything for themselves, often feels unworthy and lacking. And we certainly see this by somebody who steals, especially if they're also quite poor, is rarely one who has a healthy sense of self-esteem. Therefore, the Torah states that it is important to make him feel important. or her, right? You can have a female servant as well. So important that if you have only one of an item, this servant should get it. He is a human being just like yourself. More importantly, he's a Jew just like yourself. And dafka, the opposite of just being a slave, he is an Eved Hashem. You have to see it that way. He may be working for you, but you must realize that he's even more importantly an Eved Hashem. He's important and worthy, even if he doesn't always act like it, and even if he doesn't believe it, certainly if he doesn't have money. Now, this master has 6 years to instill this into the Eved, right? Now, sometimes it's actually less than six. We're not going to get into the nuances and the halachos right now, but he has up to 6 years to instill this into the Eved, after which, hopefully, the Eved has worked hard, has actually done something of value, whether it's working the field or building something, right? Accomplished a lot, and has now given some money and some presents to get back on his feet. He can now truly believe again that he is somebody of value. Yet, one of two things can happen. Either he can still be despondent, just still not get it, still, play the victim, still just, see himself as nothing, doesn't see what's going on. He might want to stay. Because that's what he knows for the last 6 years, and it's not so bad, Or alternatively, he just becomes dependent upon his master. He just becomes used to it. So if he does this, which he's definitely not supposed to do, because we want to say that he's an Eved Hashem, but if he chooses to do this, right, which is a violation, but if he chooses to do this, he is allowed to stay. Granted, we do a boring of the ear against the doorpost, which, to show that he's not listening, right, the ear. Right, and the doorpost has to do with we put the blood on the doorpost by Mitzrayim, to show that we are servants of Hashem. And here he doesn't want to be a servant of Hashem; he wants to be a servant of whoever his master is. So in that case, he has to stay with his master until the next Yovel year, and that could be up to 50 years later. So it's a non-ideal situation, but that's what the halacha is. Now, as part of the procedure of retaining the Eved, the master's commanded to stand up. Right. So it's not just that he has to have his ear pierced with an awl, which just doesn't sound very pleasant, to the doorpost. He actually has to stand up, right? Which we're going to get to that in a sec. There are many, many commentaries that explain exactly how it's done, why it's with an awl, things like that. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that he didn't listen to Hashem at Har Sinai saying that we're servants of Hashem, not servants of man. But interestingly, right, it's his ear that's struck, which is, obviously symbolic of hearing. But the Hebrew word for ear is ozen, right? Aleph. Zayin, nun. The word ozen can be separated, interestingly enough, into Aleph Zayin. Aleph, which is one, symbolizing the one, meaning Hashem, sustains Zayin, right? Sustains. So the one who sustains him should be the single one, which obviously should be Hashem. It should not be the one, meaning his master, who's the one who's sustaining. He should put the bulk of his reliance in Hashem. Hashem is meant to be the sustainer of man. He will give the person all he needs. A person should not instead be dependent upon another human being, exclusively anyway. The true master is Hashem, not a person. In fact, there's even an additional lesson. I was told to me by my friend Isaac Kotlicki, who helps me with many of my different Torah. Why does the Eved simply have to stand? If it was meant for a disgrace, you'd think it'd be more appropriate for him to be lying down on the ground. But that's exactly the point. You don't want the Eved to be disgraced. You want him to learn his lesson. Right, you want him to be built up, and he's going to need a lot more time to do that. He got to go all the way to the oval now because it's just not getting in his brain. But you want him to be able to stand on his own. It was not meant to be punitive, but it's meant to be functional. We're not getting into the laws of Eved Kenani right now, which is a non-Jewish servant, but specifically with respect to a Jewish servant, these are the halachot, and the Torah purposely chose to start Parshat Mishpatim with this, so that the first two words of our parsha, Ve'ela Mishpatim, are numerically equal to the phrase Eved Hashem. Below Eved Ish, a servant of Hashem and not a servant of man. This phrase is also equal to many other fascinating phrases, including Ki Shama Elokim, for Hashem has heard, which is somewhat ironic because, it's about the person hearing what Hashem said, but it goes the other way around too, because Hashem listens to us. But now, whether we hear Hashem is up to us, but Hashem has always listened. We may think we are lowly or nothing, but Hashem put us on this earth for a reason, and we are meant to do many important things and sometimes great things. Each of one of us is an Eved Hashem. We serve the ultimate master. We can bestow infinite good. Now, though one should not refrain from seeking assistance from others, that's perfectly fine. You must realize that your true sustenance, our true sustenance, comes only from Hashem. Which of that bitachon, we must reach out, for he will always hear us. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom and an amazing Chodesh Adar Rishon.